What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week on Comedy Album Book Club, we chat with the hilarious Evan Klim about the multi-talented, multi-faceted Dimitri Martin and his 2006 album, These Are Jokes. Welcome to Comedy Album Book Club. Thanks for tuning in. It's me, Matt Ardill, your host for Comedy Album Book Club. This week I got to chat with my hilarious and super awesome friend, Toronto comedian Evan Klim. Evan is a really great guy. I met him over the pandemic. He does a lot of shows around the city. He is a big fan of one-liners, and he brought Dimitri Martin's 2006 album, These Are Jokes. Dimitri Martin, you may have seen on The Daily Show as the youth correspondent back when he was starting out. You may have seen his specials on HBO or Netflix. He is just an amazingly hilarious mixed medium comedian. If you are a fan of Evan, this is your chance. I was actually supposed to be on one of his shows on May 2nd. Unfortunately, I was called out of the country. So you can see him perform at the Sidekick Comics with my other friend, Andy Wong. And you won't have to put up with me being there, even though I was originally supposed to be on the bill. So get your tickets, come on out and see a hilarious show with slides called Slideshow Bob. Now, thanks for tuning in, and here we go. Evan Klim, Dimitri Martin's These Are Jokes.
I don't own a poncho, but if somebody asks me, do you have a poncho? I don't say no. I say not right now, because I do have a blanket and some scissors. At any minute, I am 2 minutes from a poncho, or 11 scarves. It just depends how I cut it.
Oh,
something good happens to me, I wait 2 weeks before I tell anybody. Because I like to use the word fortnight. I think bears and worms aren't very similar until you think of gummy. And they're very similar.
Evan Klum, welcome, Comedy Album Book Club. Today we are going to be talking about These Are Jokes, 2006, by Dimitri Martin.
Yes, which is easily the funniest comedian with the last name Martin out there.
Yes.
Like, it goes Dimitri Martin, then it goes Andrea Martin, and then Steve Martin, and then Laurie Kilmartin, and then Dean Martin, and then honorable mention to Martin Short.
You know? Yeah, he's got a Martin in there.
Yeah, so, he made the short list.
Jeez.
Yeah, you know, I actually met him. You know, yeah, not that tall. Not that tall of a guy. Well, you know, lives up to his name.
Yeah. Apparently, like, one of the nicest people.
Yeah, well, what it was is I met him in Rosso, Ontario, because he's got a cottage around there.
Yeah,
and it was right after the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup, and he was there at Jimmy Kimmel Live when the LA Kings were there to talk about, you know, winning the Stanley Cup and everything. And he was there on the show wearing an LA Kings jersey. And when I saw him in person, I kind of gave him a little flack. He's like, I thought you would be a Leafs fan. What the heck?
I mean, I'm sure he, you know, loves the Leafs, but he has been living in LA for a while.
Yeah. So at least he likes hockey. So that's good.
Yeah. He never gave that up. That's in his soul as a Canadian.
Yeah. And now let's talk about another Martin, I guess.
So let's get on. So where did you, this is a sentimental album for you.
Oh, yes.
You said. So when did you first encounter this album and why is it so special?
Yeah, I think it must have been, this makes sense to me. And I don't know if this is like 100% factual, but this is the way I remember it, was that other kids in my grade 10 science class in high school were just like telling each other the battery joke about how if you're a battery, you're either working or you're dead joke. Yeah, that one. And just like kind of hearing that, I was like, oh, that's silly. And then kind of hearing, you know, kind of getting into comedy around that time, that would have been like 2007 or so, or 2008. I forget when I was in grade 10. Anyways, and I just kind of would stumble into comedy albums, like, because I was like watching the Just for Laughs stuff with like, you know, Mitch Hedberg and like Bonnie McFarlane and like, who was the guy that would do the, who would host it? That wasn't Sean, who was the Jeremy, or not Jeremy Holtz, forget. Anyways, going on a tangent. And just to check out his stuff, and I heard the battery joke, and I was like, oh, this is where they're hearing all these jokes from. It's just this guy. They're not actually coming up with these jokes themselves. They're actually just like, you know, ripping him off.
Yeah, because when we were kids, that's all we did was rip off. Like, my thing was going in and doing SNL bits from Mike Myers back in the day when I was in high school.
Were you dressing up like a German, like lady and stuff? Or like in the later hosen?
I mean, my Dieter phase would be in university. But that was more of a natural evolution. But it was more like, you know, Wayne Campbell.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
it was just kind of funny because it was just like hearing that stuff. And as a kid, I'd be watching a lot of the stuff, like I said, on like Just for Laughs, like Mitch Hedberg, and just being like, I guess at the time, some of his stuff would have went over my head when I was like watching it as like an 11 or 12 year old. But then like over time, you know, you start to get a deeper appreciation. But I knew from watching somebody like him, I was like, oh, this guy is funny.
Yeah.
Just because of the way he is and everything. Like you can almost like hear him and watch him and not understand everything and just be like, oh no, this guy is funny.
Yeah.
But then with like Dimitri Martin, getting into him was like, oh, I like how he's like having all these like silly jokes and they're very short and just moving from one topic to another. And it was like a kind of just like reflecting on it now, it's like It's like, you know, when you go to like an art gallery and then you see a like so many pictures and like so many like drawings, paintings and everything. Mm-hmm. And you just go from one to the next and it's just very different one to the next. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff I like where it's like, oh, they kind of like live on their own. Mm-hmm. And you can just kind of go to the next. And it's like, maybe it's one of those things where, you know, you go there with a friend and like, and you're like, oh, I don't get this. And they're like, oh, what do you mean? You don't get this one of this cat or whatever, you know? Yeah. It's like, oh, it's hilarious. And it's like, oh, now I see it. But it's just like, it's just, I like how it's like kind of have that art gallery kind of feel to it.
Yeah. You never linger too long. And that was one of the things I find, like he jokes early on about last per minute. And I mm-hmm. know in a way it's kind of meta because that's something, you know, me as comedians genuinely actually will think about. Sure. Like, you know, we'll sit with, like, you know, Mark Hallworth is perfect for that. Like, mm-hmm. Toronto comedian, he talks about, he's like, okay, well, how many laughs are we getting in here? All right, well, I need to punch it up, like, here because it's lagging.
Yeah.
But one of the things I find sort of neat is he never lingers too long. Like, there's certain bits where he'll tag it. Like tag a bit with like little just like extra jokes, mm-hmm. but he never takes it too far. Like I think I'm trying to remember which one it was. Oh, the digital camera joke.
Oh, yeah.
Off the top, where it's like there's like four tags, and then he's like, okay, stop. He didn't follow the rule of three, but mm-hmm. he's like, it was diminishing returns and he still got laughs for each one. But he knew, okay, I've got to stop now. So he really has a good sense of the room in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. I find with this stuff too.
Yeah, I'm sure it was one of those things where for him, he probably tried 5, 6, 7 and just finding out what is that worth keeping.
Yeah.
And I guess at a certain point when it comes to hearing someone like him do jokes, I guess you wouldn't expect him to do 5 minutes about digital cameras.
No.
Yeah. Well, this is going off on a tangent too again, but it's like even with like Mitch Hedberg, was like Mitch altogether, I think he does 2 minutes about sesame seeds, which is quite surprising.
That's a long stretch for Mitch.
Yeah. But it's like, I guess it's kind of the idea of like kind of mixing it up in the same way Dimitri Martin does, where it's like, I'll do my jokes and then I'll do some guitar. I'll do some other silly stuff. Yeah. Like it's not on the
drawings and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So fun way of kind of mixing it up. And it just, for me, as someone who performs comedy, yes, I perform comedy, I'm one to remember that like sometimes like comedy isn't just telling jokes. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, whatever you do that's creative. If there's a way that you can inject it into your comedy, that's a great way to kind of showcase what you can do. Like I was saying before with you, before mm-hmm. we were recording, was like, I can imagine him starting out in New York City, going to open mics and finding out, oh, this is a music open mic.
Yeah.
Okay, what if I bring in my guitar and just start telling jokes?
Yeah.
You know, just kind of like his guitar, like you were saying, like, oh, he's a good guitar player. He definitely knows some tricks and everything. It's one of those things where even his singing too, he does it. It's almost like a, I don't want to say like a Bob Dylan, because I don't know. I feel like Bob Dylan gets a bad rap as being a bad singer, but I think he's a great singer, guys.
Yeah.
Because he knows his voice and it doesn't try to be like anyone else.
He doesn't pretend. It's like Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen, mm-hmm. he has a beautiful voice when he uses it properly.
Yeah. I mean, that's a strength too, to know what your limit is with something like that. And with Dimitri, it's not like he would go up there and do like actually like a dead serious song. Like,
yeah,
I feel like sometimes like when comedians do present music into their act, I don't know, sometimes to me, I think it's funnier if it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's dead serious, then it can be, I don't want to hear you sing a song about Christmas or whatever and having like one or two jokes. But like for him, like with the same and opposites, it's very simple of like a concept. And it's like so like fun the way he kind of goes into it, where it's like at times I can imagine almost like Venn diagrams.
Yeah.
And just like with the idea of like the chair and the cactus.
Yes.
Like those kind of ones.
Well, and I think one of the things I found interesting about it is it almost reminds me of poetry, like slam poetry and stuff like mm-hmm. that, where you'd use the music as an accent. It's musical comedy in that it's jokes with music, mm-hmm. but It's not a parody song, or which, you know, I love Weird Al. I love, you know, a good like Garfunkel and Oates. Mm-hmm. I love those bands, but it's like a different thing. And you know, like when we were talking earlier, like Zach Galifianakis did it with the piano. Mm-hmm. So there's a few musicians who are comics, or comics who are musicians. And they like find a way to use it to accent their material.
Yeah.
There's one I saw recently is violinist.
Oh, Ray Gallimore, I guess.
Yeah.
She plays viola.
Viola. Mm-hmm. That could get me cut in the orchestra community. Like, they will come for you. Yes. Stabbed with a bow.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about like circumcision.
But maybe. I don't know. I don't run with those. That crowd is dangerous.
Yeah, well, anyways, they're dead, you know, musicians. Very, very serious.
Very serious, yes. But yeah, like, it's nice in how it shifts expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he does a couple of, like, at the top and the bottom, there are like three tracks that are just straight songs. And it's interesting because, like, he and I are the same age, much older than I'd care to admit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, he's getting like a Beck Pixies vibe here, and he's mm-hmm. doing a lot of soundscape layering stuff. So, I mean, he's a talented musician, but I think he shows restraint.
Yeah.
When he comes to employing it in his comedy.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I'm sure you have to like work around it. I'm sure like there's probably one version of one of those songs where there's probably too much layered onto it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, for me, I'm not too crazy about the songs that are at the beginning, at the end. Like, I'm more into like the jokes and stuff. But I listening to it as a kid, I would always skip the songs. Yeah. And just like hearing them now, it's funny just to see how, like, I mean, like, a lot of comedians do this as, like, a hidden track where it's, like, something where it's a little different, where it's kind of just showcasing what else you can do. And it's just fun to hear. I'm sure he was playing the drums and playing all the other instruments on those songs and just, like, having his parent or his mom and his grandma there to, you know, provide those little sound bites is fun. It's a nice collage of, like, everything.
Yeah.
So it's good to show that, like, I guess he's good at producing music, too.
And I think it shows, it's an interesting sentimentality. It shows a bit of his character behind the comedic front kind of thing. I mean, it's
very wholesome, you know, like a lot of his jokes, like, you know, he's doing like, you know, jokes about batteries. He's doing jokes about, you know, oranges and vitamins. Yeah. And
he has a very Emo Phillips-y vibe in a lot of ways. Aside from his hair, in a lot of ways, he kind of, because he leans into some really absurd concepts, but it's absurd, but the kind of absurd that everybody has in the back of their head.
Yeah.
You know, like you know.
Kind of like Looney Tunes-esque, where it's, I mean, like, I was, my favorite joke of the album is when he's doing the song about the what's it like to be a comedian, like a day in the life.
Yes.
And him running into his friend Dean and him talking about the story about how him and Dean worked as roofers on this building. And I guess his friend Dean wasn't feeling too good and just wanted to, you know, end it all. And he jumped onto the street and landed on the trampolines that are at the bottom because the trampoline emporium was having a sale. And he, you know, jumps on the trampoline, goes all the way back up, and just as he's going back up, he just tells Dimitri that some of his jokes feel quite contrived. That's my favorite one, because it's just like, that's the kind of stuff where I love how somebody can paint a picture in someone's head with words like that.
Yeah.
Because of how a lot of comedy is, you know, trying to bridge the gap between what's in my head and what's the words I'm saying into someone else's head. And it's great when you can tell a joke and somebody appreciates it on a different level and may see something else that somebody else sees. It's just that, like, whenever you're able to actually know this is exactly the image I want you to see, like, it may be very different in terms of, like, oh, because he said it's a 40-foot building. It's not like the building's, like, 100 feet.
Yeah.
But it's, like, able to put in those exact pictures in somebody's head where that's very powerful of a thing for a comedian to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shows the power, I guess, of that.
And I mean, one of the things I find fun too, like you mentioned words, is like, he's got a really good command of the language. Mm-hmm. Like he knows a funny word when he hears it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important for these like one-liner or like two-liner jokes.
Oh, yeah.
You really need to be concise and handy with your language. But he also, like, he hasn't a con, like, there's one point when he has Leo, what's his name?
We're just describing everything for people at home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Leo Allen, comedian and writer, up there talking about how he's miming out the straw to give us an emotional connection.
Oh, yeah.
To the joke. But it, again, it's like there's stuff like the cereal joke where he's, you know, do I have like comments and questions? And it's like that is, you know, one morning he was sitting there eating some delicious cereal, mm-hmm. looked up, saw, you know, do you have comments or questions? And then it became a joke. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, this is drawn from, it's not observational, but it kind of is in a way. It's like using these observations to feed the humor. And it's mm-hmm. kind of silly and fun. And I really find it really cool.
Well, it's like, as like, you know, we both perform comedy and write jokes. And it's like, you know, those kind of stuff are like little gifts when that kind of stuff happens, where it's like you just like look at a sign. I think I saw on the way here, I saw a sign on a door that said no flyers. Mm-hmm. And I was like kind of like looking at that sign. We may have to cut this thing that I'm about to say. But I saw the sign on the door that said no flyers. And I was like, oh, what if that sign was on the Twin Towers?
Oh, geez.
You know, and just like kind of thinking about something like that. We're just like, oh, I'm looking at something silly. And just that's where my mind goes, where... Now, if we were going to cut, this is the place to cut it. But there's something fun about how when you see those little moments where you see a sign or you see something that, you know, oh, what else could that be? Right? Yeah. Like, you think it's, we all kind of take for granted this certain way of looking at things. But then it's like, if you start to open it up a little bit more, then there's some really fun material that could be in there.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got an entire song where it's all like sames and opposites.
Yeah,
you know, where is that juxtaposition, where it's playing with that.
Yeah, like... Well, it's funny because I was thinking about how for that one it is kind of presented like a Venn diagram, which he does a lot of the drawings in his stuff that's visual, not just audio. And I have this one thing that I did for one of my slideshows where I presented a series of Venn diagrams. Mm-hmm. And one of them was my first degree black belt in karate and my degree in sociology. And in the middle, it was things I will use when the moment is right. Just something stupid like that. And just like a tag on to that was like, yeah, there's not that much of a difference between the martial arts and a bachelor of arts. Yeah. That's just awesome. It's fun to like, kind of think about how, oh yeah, you can work with some simple ideas like that and present it in ways that is unique, different, and kind of gives people a chance to look inside of your head, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to get on to an uncomfortable topic for a second, it's there is some language in this, warning to listeners, if you check this out. Mm-hmm. And it's very much of the time. It doesn't feel malicious in a way. I suspect he wouldn't use the language that he does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, could you imagine if he still was? There's no way we'd probably be talking about this anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, we'd be like probably like scolding him for be like, you know, this is where he went wrong and stuff. But, you know, people change and everything. Like, there's definitely, you know, times when I was probably, you know, younger where I used language that I wouldn't use anymore. And even to thinking of those words, like, just even, I wouldn't, even to try to use some of the words that he's using for, I would almost like hesitate and just be like, oh, I don't like saying it anyways, nor do I like hearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like sometimes when you go to open mics, you'll hear folks using like, you know, language and stuff, and they'll try to be like, oh, no, you can't say this. Or I was like, well, here I am saying it. And it's like, yeah, but there's a reason. Well, you can say it. It's just that, like, you know, you have to deal with the consequences of it, you know? So
you're a jerk for saying it.
Totally. Yeah.
But it's interesting in, like, you know, like you said, if he was still using that kind of language, he wouldn't be around today in the capacity that he is. But it's how much the language around comedy and joke telling has evolved.
Oh, in, sure,
like,
yeah.
This is 2006. We're in 2024 now. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. 18 years.
Well, a lot of Dimitri Marin's jokes, too, are quite kind of, like, scathing in terms of what he's saying about some folks he sees, you know, like someone who's like, you know, oh, yeah. Was it? I think hair gel is a way of spotting douchebags.
Yes.
You know, like,
and then he immediately apologizes.
Well, somebody. Like, you know, it's, I think that's a fun joke to say because it's one of those things where if you're in comedy, like, you know, you should have like something that you kind of like irks you. And if there's something like that, like for him, it irked him enough to, you know, write a joke about it. Yeah. He was probably wronged by somebody wearing hair gel once before. So it's just one of those things where I think you can still, like, you know, if you're doing jokes like that, you know, stand by them and everything. Yeah. And I think that some of those stuff is like, oh yeah, I can agree that, you know, probably hair gel, you know, is probably a good way of spotting, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you look at other comedians like Patton Oswalt, who I love and respect, around this period did his parade joke that he will be the first to say, I would never do that now. It was a different, it's funny, like 20 years ago almost doesn't feel like a long time, but it does feel like a long time at the same time. So it's one of those things that, like, just for the audience to be aware going in, there's some language that you wouldn't hear in a comedy club. Well, no, you might hear in a comedy club, but it would be a kind of comedy club that I normally wouldn't go to.
Yeah, well, there's that joke where he's kind of like, some of it where it's like, yeah, kind of like a scathing in what he's saying about what he thinks about certain kinds of people. And then there's stuff like the marching band joke where it's like, you know, writing the book about all these people in a marching band who just like were in high school and like never left, and the book's called like
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Never get laid.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a fun one, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
and it doesn't really hurt anybody. I mean, like,
yeah. Except if you're in a marching band, then it's probably a
band, you know, kids, you know, they fuck.
Yeah.
They fuck. I mean, like, that's,
and if you
true.
Make fun of them, they'll cut you.
They will. Yes. They will. Yeah. Or they'll empty their spit valve on you.
Oh, geez. Like, yeah.
It's when they want to like really show you who's boss, but
As long as you get consent onto all that, I guess that's
Now, one of his numbers that he did, the personal information waltz, had a guest spot from Will Forte. It would have been his last year in SNL when he did this. And I mean, that guy can sing.
Yeah, you know what? It was hearing that again recently. When I was listening to it as a kid, I didn't know who Will Forte was.
Yeah.
And then hearing it now, I'm like, oh, I always thought that was actually like Dimitri Marin doing all that kind of like screaming and everything. Yeah. Bebop, I guess.
Yes. But it's it's not gratuitous. Like, it does service the bit. A lot of times people will say, oh, this is a gimmick. Like when we were talking earlier, you mentioned it is a gimmick, but it's a gimmick that serves a purpose, I find.
Yeah. Laughs.
Yeah.
It's like, well, even with his drawings and his like music, just the fact that he has that way of knowing what he's good at doing and just finding a way to incorporate that into his comedy. I think it just has a good way of showcasing what comedy can be. So,
So now you are a comedian. You have a regular slideshow Bob.
Yes.
At
you wouldn't be so you. Oh my gosh! People asked me to be or ask me if I can be on Sideshow Bob. It's, you know, permanently banned at that point. Every time they ask me that, I'm like, no, it's not called Sideshow Bob. And if you don't take the time to learn what the name of the show is,
yeah,
no,
yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, just do the basic research before you.
Yeah, and it should be one of those things too, where you look at it and you're like, ah, that's clever. I'll remember that.
It's literally a pun. In the name, it's a joke. If you can't recognize a joke, then I don't want to see your comedy.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, hey, that's actually a good litmus test.
Yes.
You know, if you actually can't recognize a joke, nah.
Yeah.
Can't be on my show.
Do you draw like you mentioned Venn diagrams? Do you draw a lot of inspiration for your own material from Dimitri? Because there's little nuances, just to say. And I don't think it's even conscious on your part, but there's little things that I notice about you personally, where he has like this little giggle. And I sometimes notice you have that same little giggle too, where it's just like, it feels like he's worked his way into your brain.
Well, I mean, just like as like one of like, for sure, as like an influential kind of figure within like kind of like my comedy, like Mount Rushmore, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah.
But just for like some of the stuff, like, I mean, for what I've been doing with the slideshow, Bob, was kind of the idea of it's almost doing a form of comedy. The way I kind of like to frame it is like it's almost like a form of comedy where I'm cheating a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I love cheating. So, no, I don't actually love cheating. No, I don't. But it's one of those things where so much of comedy is actually me trying to get that picture into people's heads.
Yeah.
And if I'm able to actually present a picture as to what that picture is, I want to get into your head. That's just like a way of totally bridging the gap there.
Yeah.
Which is like a lot of the stuff that like Dimitri does with his drawings. And he has a couple of books of drawings that he's done too, where it's kind of showing like these silly ideas of him of his that he maybe tried to incorporate into comedy as like jokes but it wasn't able to do it, so he does the thing with like his giant notepad, or he has a book that's just filled up with his drawings and stuff. So I like how it kind of, again, showcases the idea of, like, what you can do with comedy.
Yeah.
And how if you have any other talent that you can do, like juggling. I think in one of his specials, he actually does juggle, too.
Yes.
So whatever that kind of thing you can do that is something outside of writing jokes, if you can find a way to do that that's funny, then that's a great way to showcase, again, what you can do.
Yeah. Like another Canadian comedian, Luba Magnus.
Oh, yes.
Animation, graphics, and because her day job was doing graphics for news, so she has these amazing silly little animations and stuff that are hilarious, and it's like combining these talents, bringing these things that people love, telling jokes and drawing and stuff.
So, recently in one of my iterations of Slideshow Bob, there was something I did, this whole thing about how I used to be a tree planter, and then you know, the idea was that like me starting as a tree planter, I wasn't very good, and I asked one of the veteran tree planters, oh, how do you plant a lot of trees? And what he told me is that you got to go to the crossroads where you're going to meet this man, and he's going to tell you how to you know, plant a lot of trees. In exchange, you know, you have to sell your
soul.
Yes we all know the old classic blues fable. Yeah. So just something fun like that, where it's like as a way of like maybe me, if I was going to do that as like stand up like jokes without any kind of visuals, be a little bit harder to kind of get into that feel of it. But with presenting pictures, it has that way of kind of solidifying the image into what I want to put into people's heads, which is like fun. I mean, you can do that with jokes, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And like jokes and just like sometimes there's a way of just having it so that it's different too, because you know, it's so much of doing comedy is finding your voice and finding a way of just being unique in a field that's, you know, so talented, this field of so many talented individuals too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially in cities like Toronto, New York, and L.A., it feels like there's a thousand new...
I noticed you didn't say Hamilton there. Are you saying that people from...
Hamilton has some great talent. You know, Hamilton does have... It's where I saw Weird Al. You know, he made a point of going to Hamilton and not Toronto, so...
What? For real,
yeah,
eh?
For real. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Well, I guess, you know, he probably had something about... Ham that he probably did there.
Yeah,
so
he does. Yeah. I mean, Levity in Hamilton, yeah, terrific yeah. joint. Lots of great people perform there. So, mm-hmm. so yeah.
Yeah, it's like I almost want to count all the records you have on the wall here and be like, do you have more than the ones there at Levity?
Yes.
Have you seen the Levity?
I haven't seen Levity. No.
Oh, Levity. They have a bunch of different like records that they have up on the wall there. Same idea. Like, yeah, it's
I've
fun.
I've
yeah.
got about 100 comedy albums in actual
Oh, yeah,
album
you probably,
form.
Yeah, top them, I guess, for. Yeah. yeah.
But, yeah, I have a collection problem.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the bookcase is a one-in, one-out policy at this point.
Oh, that's yeah. fair, yeah. yeah. That's a good way of approaching it, that's yeah. for sure, yeah. yeah. Just about how, I guess, like, there's so many talented, like, comedians, and just having a way of... make it so that you can still be a part of that community and it just be like there's different kind of like, you know, styles, so to speak. And, yeah. you know, Dimitri Martin is kind of, you know, I don't want to like, it's funny to think of like someone as like a one-liner comedian, but like even I would even kind of say that that's probably not as fair of a label because it's like, I don't know, someone like, Anthony Jeselnik or like Mitch Hedberg, Stephen Wright. I think they just tell jokes, you know.
Yeah.
Bonnie McFarlane, like Judah Friedlander. They tell jokes, and it's funny to think about how that's kind of it's so fundamental to what comedy is. It's yeah. just to make it so that like you're not like a storyteller, but you can tell stories. It's just that like there's definitely this kind of idea of. I'm going to tell this thing and then I'm going to move on to the next yeah. thing. And it could be something completely different or just kind of like lend itself to what yeah. you're talking about.
Well, and like in the day in the life, it, you know, and there are moments where it feels storytellery, mm-hmm. but it's just boiled down into the snippets mm-hmm. and it's like, there's progression. So it's not like a full on, you know, Mike Birbiglia kind of, 45 minute ends with a, you know, life altering moral question at a swimming pool kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's like a series of little events that end with like a friend calling him out for being full of baloney.
Yeah.
after jumping off of a building and landing mm-hmm. on a trampoline. But it's interesting because it sort of speaks to the power of these individual components. Like you have to master the joke
yeah
to like and you think that's a basic concept but for a lot of comedians or people who want to be comedians mm-hmm. they never really do master the joke
yeah it's funny because like with like Birbiglia like there's the example when he's talking to his doctor is like you know oh I don't think you know LeBron James even does like 5 days of cardio every day. And then his doctor's like, oh, LeBron James definitely does 5 days or 5 days of cardio every week. And we go back for 45 minutes of this conversation going back and forth and we agree to disagree. Yeah. And just the kind of like the silly things like that, where it's like, I love how at times, like, you know, a lot of stuff in comedy nowadays is talking about how, you know, we need to be really truthful. Mm-hmm. And it's like, cause there is nothing funnier than the truth, I think. Yeah. Especially with like some of the jokes that Dimitri Martin does, because it's observational, it's like a silly way of like looking at things. But like you would hear some of those jokes that he tells, and be like, "Oh yeah, it's true," you know. And yeah. just like when you can even be on, you can hear something, and it's you know that incongruity where it's like, that didn't actually happen," but for that moment there, you made us think it happened.
Yeah,
that's
well,
so
yeah,
silly.
Like,
yeah,
I call the serial helpline and like. Do I have a question? Are there any more delicious? Is this the most delicious cereal in the world? I have a comment. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he's thinking that. But, it's like, it may not be literally true, but it's what he's felt in yeah. that moment. And it became a joke.
I mean, something like that. I want to believe that he may have actually contemplated doing it.
Yeah.
Fun story. I went to the National Gallery in London, England recently, and that's where they have the sunflowers that were the protesters threw the Campbell soup at, the tomato soup. And it was there, and there was the person there who was watching the room, and who watches the room to make sure nothing, no shenanigans happened.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and I was like, "Were you here the day that they threw the tomato soup at the sunflowers, Van Gogh's sunflowers?" And he said, "No." And I asked him, "Well, would you have stopped them if you were?" And he's like, "Yeah." You know, it's something silly where it's like, I don't know, there's sometimes it's worth, you know, taking a chance and just like, you know,
yeah,
even if it's just a little joke for you, there's just something like that where it can actually, you know, just be a little silly, you know, at times. I can imagine he'd definitely be that person who's like, you know, kind of maybe hanging out with friends, be like, "I'm going to go ask the security guard something, or and see if, you know, what they say or whatever."
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's hurt in that. It's just a silly little moment. Mm-hmm. You're satisfying your curiosity. Yeah. He's probably getting a chuckle from it himself, kind of thing.
Yeah. It's little fun moments like that where, you know, as someone who is wanting to, like, you know, like write jokes and stuff, like, it's important to just, like, you know, be interested in what's happening around you, and just like, if there's something that definitely does like spark your interest, and as I kind of go into it like a little bit more. And I get the sense that he probably is someone who's like maybe has a little bit of like a trickster kind of going for him or whatever.
And I mean, to a large extent, I find, you know, it's a 20 or 18 year old album, but it's pretty timeless. Like, it holds up, and in a way, a lot of albums that we've listened to on the show haven't. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the brevity. It's right. Like, I've got a book. Heather got this for me. Mm-hmm. Early in the pandemic, we got really into watching Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And Maury Amsterdam is one of the two comedians who are in the writer's room with Dick, and he's actually an old vaudevillian.
Oh.
So, like, both of the other writers were vaudeville comedians. Mm-hmm. So he wrote this book, and it's called Keep Laughing, and it's autographed. So I was like, that was really sweet of her. The Wonders of eBay. But it's like, it's just basically silly what would some of it later became street jokes because it was told so many times. But it's like, description of an intimate restaurant. It's the kind of place the boss takes his wife when he doesn't want his secretary to see him.
Yeah.
And it's just like little like snappy jokes. And it's like, that's the core, you know. You have to understand the two sentences, and how you get there varies, but it's those two sentences that matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's something to it where it's kind of, at times, it's one of those things where you have that thought too, and it's like, how do I make sure to use the exact same amount of like words I need to?
Yeah.
To like edit everything. So I'm sure even too with like Dimitri Martin, there's like some of those jokes you have or that he has is probably maybe he's like, it's 100 words or whatever. He's like, oh no, this is a bad joke.
Yeah.
You know, it's like at a certain point, like with like someone like Anthony Jeselnik, some of his jokes can be like up to like 80 words, I guess. But then it's just worth it at the end there because it's like, what a surprising punchline and everything. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, just going back to the fundamentals of, you know, setting up these expectations and then breaking them.
Yeah.
So that's fun. That's something I really like to like watching comedy, you know, because I want to be on there to be like, as a chance to like, you know, like escape from it, you know, just kind of like hearing something. Like, I heard this one joke at a mic recently and I liked it because he was like talking about how, you know, trying to open up to people, and he's like, it's really hard because people always say to him, it's like, oh no, it's like, you know, saying like, oh no, you're not, you're too sad or whatever, you're not very good or whatever, and like it sounds like you suck. And then he's like, so then I had to switch therapists. You know, it's just something like that where it's like, oh, that's like, I feel like that's been done, but it's like, oh, what a good surprise.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing too, it's like, everything's being done somewhere. It's just how mm-hmm. you add your own individual flourish to it.
Yeah. Well, like, even it's funny how some of the jokes, even in this album, have probably found its way into people's vernacular, so to speak, yeah. and they have no idea where it came from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though I have to say, as a huge nerd, there are B batteries. They are a thing mm-hmm. still used in Europe.
Oh.
So, but they, like, it's like,
Dimitri, well, the Europeans just do everything so well, don't they?
Yes, yeah. So if people wanted to find your material or see you perform, where can they find you online?
So I forgot to mention too, because it's the when we were talking about like, you know, drawing inspiration and yeah. stuff. I do a lot of like painting and drawings too.
Oh, wow.
So like, just in the same way like Dimitri Marin does, and like, I don't know, I kind of made up this little rule for me where I was like, I try to, when it comes to like the stuff that I've been drawing and painting, I want to draw upon my everyday life for inspiration, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's a very, very silly pun there for drawing,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's like, it's one of those things where, just like for that, I, you know, just as a way of like exploring different ways of like, you know, doing something that's funny. And, yeah, so for me, when it comes to that, yeah, so I do my slideshow Bob show with Andy Wong. We host it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incorporating stand-up comedy and storytelling with a PowerPoint or Google Slides, whatnot. And that's just a fun way for us to kind of like do what we do and try it in a different way and see if there's a way to kind of like, you know, build upon the stuff that we've been doing in a way that's like different, you
yeah.
know? So I do that in Leslieville at the Sidekick Comic Book Store because we do it there because it's a fun little venue. It's warm atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
There's comic books there too. So there's a lot of fun stuff to check out there. And
delicious lemon and cranberry glazed scones.
Oh, yes, so. Yes. And the raspberry scones too. Those are good.
Ooh,
too.
I'll have to
yeah.
try those next time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of raspberries. That's for sure. The fruit though, the
yes.
aggregate fruit. Yes.
Yes.
So I do that. We do it like Thursdays. Like we're kind of rotating between second and third Thursdays. It's kind of just like, you know, based on whatever works for our schedule and stuff. But, that's a fun show that we do. I'm all around the city doing other jokey joke stuff, telling, classic kind of short jokes in the way that, you know, Dimitri Marin, Not to say I do it like him or whatever, but I am kind of that ilk, so to speak.
Yeah.
Is that the right word, I guess?
Ilk.
Yeah, ilk.
But it's, you know, and you have one joke, and it's Dimitri Martin-esque about your last name.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
I love. That you, and I won't spoil it. You have to come out to a show to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, it
yeah.
performed in real life.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, you definitely, what you could do too is just like look at a carton of milk and just like put it in a mirror and then maybe you'll see it.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, so I do that kind of stuff. And then like I've been posting more of like kind of like my little stupid drawings or whatever online just as like a way to kind of be like, oh, not only can I like, you know, write jokes or put together silly slideshows, I also, you know, do paintings of bears wearing trucker hats, stuff like that. So
but it's all about finding joy.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, and I mean, I think that's lost. Like, I mean, yeah, message comedy is important. You know, being able to say something is great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not finding the joy in yourself or the audience,
mm-hmm.
you know, be it a bear wearing a trucker hat
yeah,
or
yeah.
a joke about, you know, a friend jumping off a building, you know, like there's got to be something there.
Yeah.
For it.
I mean, for me, it's always important to remember that we're doing this to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And as a result, if there is something that is said that is greater than the joke itself, if there's something to say that's like this, like truth about something that's like an issue or something, like that's always a great as like a byproduct
yeah.
of a joke where I'm like, I'm never trying to, if I do write a joke that does say something like that, it's never something where I'm like, oh no, I want to write a joke that says this. It's like, oh no, I just happened to write this joke and it could be looked in a way that says something about student debt, you know,
yeah.
or it says something about housing here in Canada. Like I'm never trying to, you know, say that like, let's write a joke that says like a message. It just happens to sometimes happen that way. So
I mean, it's when it comes naturally, then it lands all the better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like even too. I remember sometimes even telling jokes, or somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, "Oh, I like how that joke says something about this issue or something," and I'm like, "Oh, you know what? I never even thought about it saying that, but now that you mention it, like, I guess it's one of those ways that somebody can hear a joke and just hear something else completely different." Yeah. So that's always fun like that.
Awesome. All right. Well, Evan, thanks for joining me today and to talk about Dimitri Martin. And
did we talk about Dimitri Martin today? I feel like we talked about a lot of things today.
Well, yeah. he was the core. He was the two lines that made it all worth it. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a favorite joke in the album, by the way?
I did. I think my favorite bit, it would be... what was the one that I... check my notes here. Yeah, the wizard. The tiny umbrella.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. It was so... Like, everybody keeps those umbrellas.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps those umbrellas. But, like, to do something so silly with that.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little flourish of, oh, he's in a really bad mood. Really angry. Just like... It feels like something he's pulled on the street with a person. So again, that I think is my favorite.
Yeah. I was gonna say one more thing about like his books and his drawings that he's done too, and like books. There's one book, I think it's called This Is a Book, and in there it's like a series of like short chapters, short stories, and kind of like little like fun like writing exercises. One of the stories he does in there is a palindrome. The entire story is front to back. It's like, you know, palindrome. That's like where it's like, what, they're spelled the same and reverse is exactly the same. Yeah, so it's like a race car story, I guess. I don't know. But one story like that is a palindrome. And then another one that he does that's super fun is that it's a student meets up with his former Spanish teacher, and the entire conversation is written out in English, but the conversation done in real life is actually in Spanish. And through the conversation, the Spanish teacher is like talking with the student and realize, oh, he doesn't know any Spanish at all, because he keeps on saying yes, yes, and like see. And then the teacher is like, start to say, oh, you know, oh, starts to insult him, say, oh, you look stupid, I don't like that t-shirt. And then he's like, oh, see, you know, and everything. And then I guess the teacher is talking with the student, like, oh, by the way, who's this person with you? I was like, oh, this is my fiance. She's from Mexico. And just, you know, just she knows everything that was just like said and everything. So there's some fun things like that. Sorry if I spoiled it for people at home reading that, but it's just some fun stuff that, like, if you guys ever want to check out other stuff he's done, like, he has other albums, he has Netflix specials, Comedy Central specials, and everything. So fun stuff like that to check out.
Awesome. Well, thanks for bringing Dimitri to us today.
Oh, thank you, Matt, for letting me come and talk about him. Yeah.
You've been listening to Comedy Album Book Club, a Far From Here Comedy and ShowbizMonkeys.com co-production. Music today was performed and produced by Glenn Beauchamp, Tim Matthews, Edith Falkenberg, and Jim Spruill, also known as the Something Something Quartet. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week to Comedy Album Book Club.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.